The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is the Magic Mike Show, episode 352, I think, Mr. Samish.
Confusing Derby Huzzah!
My goodness, yeah, we're here to talk about the four Kentucky Derby prep races, and I don't know which one, if any of them, we really learned anything from. Lots more questions than answers after this week, which when you have four Derby prep races, Mike, you'd think it'd be the opposite.
Well, and it feels like it's become the norm for this Derby prep season as well. I mean, you're just consistently like, I have more horses on my do not bet in the Derby list than I have horses I'm interested in looking forward toward betting in the Derby right now. And so it's the list is getting shorter and shorter, and yet we're getting closer and closer to the race. And I am befuddled at this point. If every single Derby we've seen, the winner of the Derby is already running a prep race. So you assume the winner of the Derby is already running a prep race. I don't know who I am really interested in betting. And this weekend solidified my opinion on a couple horses, but it's not a good opinion. I want to fade these type horses opinion.
Yeah. Like Dr. Tay says, Derby confusion can persist till May. I mean, we've got the 100 point preps where you're, you know, the last weekend in March, first weekend in April. You would assume that's when we're going to find out who the Kentucky Derby legitimate contenders are. But it depends on the weather too, right? Because we've seen a couple of tracks that have just been absolutely, you know, horribly sloppy. Aqueduct this past weekend, the Rebel for the Southwest for Oak Lawn. Like that was just
a mess
too. So you don't know what to do. And then the tracks where it's fast and beautiful, you have four and five horse fields, and one of them we can't even talk about because they don't matter. And the other one, it's the winner was really unflattering, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I did bet a horse to win the Kentucky Derby this weekend.
Was it all others?
I'm not going to tell you who until the end of the show, but I did bet someone to win. I have a Kentucky Derby ticket in my pocket.
Okay. All right. That's good to know. I guess we'll have to do it. Let's just dive right into it. We've got the four Kentucky Derby prep races to talk about here on the Magic Mike Show. Let's get into it. Riders up. Andy Fox bringing up the Wine Stewart, still his pick. It hasn't run since the Breeders' Futurity, but at least has been working a little bit. So, hell, he might as well be a pick right now that you have because he hasn't disappointed anybody.
I liked the Wine Stewart last year. I mean, we need to see him again. But, yeah, I mean, like, that would be one where he's not on the cross-off list. That's about as good as I can say.
Yeah, well, a horse that may or may not be on the cross-off list, we'll find out from you soon. We'll hit play on the replay here. Fountain of Youth Stakes, which was going to be, initially, it was like, oh, this is going to be great. You got Speakeasy, you've got Victory Avenue, you've got Doorknock, you've got Locked, and then Locked is out, and then Victory Avenue is out, and then Speakeasy throws Irad right before during the post parade and cuts himself, and he's going to be gone for a little while. So it's left with Doorknock, who he's 1-5 here, Mike, and he should be 1-5 with this field. He did not win the way you want to see a 1-5 win a race.
No, he didn't. And this is a horse that I was a little skeptical, like coming into it. He was not in my top three when the race was completely full. And so, you know, wasn't a big Doorknock guy after the scratches. The pace situation obviously made it a lot easier for him. You see here the opening quarter there, 24 and change. He never really gets asked through any part of this race until they turn toward the stretch. And look, the second and third place finishers aren't even Derby nominated in this race. Like this was a nerfed field in every sense of that term. And it's too bad. Like I'm not high on Speakeasy, but I would have liked to see Speakeasy. I think Victory Avenue was one of those horses I was excited to see this weekend, because if he could learn how to stalk, I thought he had a legitimate chance to be a contender in the Derby. And we lose both of them. We lose Locked, who I didn't really know what to do with, but I was interested in seeing what he would do specifically if all the pace stayed in here. And yeah, I mean, this is one of the more those efforts where you're just like, okay, so he's not very good, right? Like, that's what I take away from this is, yeah, I get you. You only beat what's in front of you. But, man, he didn't beat them very impressively. And it feels like if there was anyone in this field, he ends up running second or third. Like, I still think he misses the board if everyone's in this race. And that says something, considering he is now your 8-1 favorite to win the Derby overseas, tied with Sierra Leone, the horse that we've talked about before, who I don't like either, who's also 8-1 right now. And Sierra Leone, like, his big race as a 2-year-old was just missing to Door Knock. Well, now we're in this situation where it's like, are we sure either's good? And that's kind of my prevailing thought here, is that neither of them are very good.
Well, we're going to see both of them in the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland for their next matchup, or for their next races, which is an interesting move, I would say. By the way, right there, you see, I'm going to pause it quick. Cash to Magic Mike Show ticket, $54 after scratches, paid $75.65. I was mad the Speakeasy got thrown out late, because he was actually the favorite in the pick three, pick four, pick five, and it would have paid almost $169. To Door Knock. But hey, the way Door Knock ran right there, maybe Speakeasy beats him. I don't know.
Yeah, it wouldn't have taken much. I'll tell you that. Like, that was like, you want him to win this race by six and never be asked and do it. That's what it would take for a horse that is going to win the Kentucky Derby. Now, okay, first off the layoff, maybe he takes a step forward, second off. I'm not sure why we're going to Keeneland. I don't like the Keeneland to Derby route. Like, I would much rather see this horse in the Florida Derby or one of the major derbies like that versus going to Keeneland. But hey, you know, it's these trainers' choices. That's where they're going to go. But this isn't the effort you want. It just isn't. From the horse who's, this is supposed to be the best 3-year-old in training that can run in the Kentucky Derby right now. And Ladambro gave him all he could handle in the stretch.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it was bad. You know, I think disappointing was Real Macho, that he didn't, he's a lot more closer to the pace here early than he usually runs, which was calculated risk. I understand why Tyler did it with only four horses on the, you know, Dancy Groom was never, ever involved. No, Javier Castellano was out, just out there for a Sunday cruise. But the biggest knock I have on Door Knock is that he still runs like a
goofball.
He still runs like a dummy because he doesn't change his leads. I was in the live show, I was sitting there screaming at him, change your leads. And it's very late when he does it. You would expect that this is his first start since December, first start as a 3-year-old. He should progress next out. But just off of what I've seen here, if it's him versus Sierra Leone in the Bluegrass, I don't want any part of Door Knock.
Yeah, I don't want any part of either of them. I'll look for somebody else so I can try and beat with them. And the other problem for me with Door Knock is like, and this isn't his fault at all. I will completely give him, like, I'm not going to say this is a knock on Door Knock the horse. I'm saying this is a knock on someone I want to win the Kentucky Derby. He's never not had the lead. I don't know if he has the ability to stalk. And one of the key things for me in the Derby is I don't want the horse who's in first place. And it feels like Door Knock is a horse who needs the lead right now. And that to me is an issue. I want someone who's at least shown the ability to stalk. We haven't seen that from Door Knock yet. He has every race he's won, he's been first every single call. And now we'll see if he see that aspect at Keeneland, but we're getting to the point where it's so late, you just don't even know. And yeah, I mean, to me, this was a really lackluster race. I don't know how else to put it. I wasn't impressed.
Yeah. Well, again, the full brother of Mage, last year's Kentucky Derby winner, you would hope he's going to continue to progress, but as things stand right now, not the horse that we want for the Derby from this past weekend. Let's head over to Aqueduct, where big field, great betting options, horrible racing conditions. Look at this. This is just, I mean, there was, I don't know if you're watching live, Mike, but race 9 had a 10-15 minute delay because of how bad the weather was. They were under a weather watch. And then, so of course, the Gotham got pushed as well as race 10. What did you make of this race in deterministic? He's only run once. We saw him in August in Saratoga, and he ran well. He shows up here, good effort, right?
Yeah, this would be the one horse from this weekend I'm actually interested in. But the problem is, you know what the track was like when he ran in Saratoga?
Yucky.
Well, the Saratoga race was fast, and he came from off it. This one was sloppy, and he looked good. We just don't know if he can do two turns in the slop. We don't, or on a fast track. We don't have and by the way, this was a mile race, and they didn't look phenomenal coming home. But I thought he ran a good race, especially considering if you watched Aqueduct. Speed wasn't great this weekend at Aqueduct. And so to be able to sit in this spot here and be able to make a move, to me, this was the most impressive winner this weekend. Even the two California horses. I think Deterministic was the most impressive, but we really don't know what the next step is. And if distance is going to be an issue long-term for Deterministic or not, but I guess if I'm picking one, this is it. But like, you look at this move right here, this kind of feels like he's just passing tired horses. Not that he is actually making the move to the winning move to be able to win. I mean, even the 10, just a touch, I thought had better turn of foot late, really late in this race. You'll see him getting moving here and catch up, run up for second. He's 2 for 2. I thought he showed the ability to be close to the pace and make a nice move. I can't knock him for not being able to stalk. If anyone from this weekend's wins, it feels like deterministic is the horse that has a shot.
Yeah, and it's always a nice thing when a good trainer like Christophe Clément's got a Derby horse. And he did come home in 13 flat the final furlong, which is, you're not amazed by that, but you've got to look at those conditions. So I agree that he was passing tired horses, but the 13 flat I thought was admirable under the conditions for what he's doing. Aqueduct's always a slower track anyway. But this was just a touch. I expected more from him. You kind of had the top four horses early, pretty much were the top four across the board and just kind of left everybody behind. My biggest concern, and I agree with you, this was an impressive win, but breeding wise, he's Liam's Map is his sire, which is, great for a mile and a 16th. And he's out of a Spitestown mare. So mile and a quarter. I don't know. I mean, Mile and Eighth in the Wood with the right setup, I think he can definitely hit the board, but I don't see this horse going longer and being best that way.
Yeah. I a mile and a quarter is definitely going to be pushing it. And that's the one, the biggest, not, I mean, like, it's kind of like Timberlake to me, where like, I think a mile and a 16th is fine. Mile and an eighth. Okay. Mile and a quarter. It's like, are we sure this horse wants to get that much distance? And like, again, this was the horse that impressed me the most. This horse hasn't gone two turns yet, and we're 2 months away from the Derby. Like, that's a huge question mark still. And the next prep is going to be two turns, either the Wood or the Florida Derby, like Shoddy mentioned. So we're going to get that answer. This isn't a horse I'm crossing off, but it's also not one I'm like running to the window to bet either.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know what? Credit to Shoddy, because she and Davey in the fantasy league did claim him, didn't have to shake for him. It was a good pickup for you guys, and the defending fantasy league champs are still not dead in the water, unlike yours truly for the fantasy league. But yeah, this is, I mean, the fact that El Grande O hung around there until very late and just missed second by a half length tells you everything you need to know about this. Bergen was a big disappointment, not sure what was with him. He had done well in the 6 furlong Jimmy Wingfield coming from off the pace. Just didn't really seem to have it. Air Cab, kind of the other Brad Cox, didn't have it there. Yeah, this the Derby's as wide open as the fantasy league right now. Because I actually say the Derby's more wide open than the fantasy league.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I this Derby's a mess, man. I literally can't think of another Kentucky Derby where I've been this like down on the crop. Not saying like that sets up for a very good betting race. I'm not saying I'm not excited to be able to bet on the Derby. I'm saying like usually by this point I have like four horses that I'm like it's going to be one of these four. Like last year I liked Two Phils. Last year I liked what's his face, the Cox horse, Angel of Empire. Mage was this weekend where I kind of had the Mage coming out party after running second. I don't have four horses right now. I don't know about you, man, but I don't have four. I have two. I've got two horses that I'm interested in right now.
I don't even think I have two. One horse that was interesting, though, this weekend that I'm excited to talk about. The John Battaglia Memorial Stakes at Turfway Park. You got good odds on him, a 5-1 on a Cox horse that was, I think like a neck or something like that away from being perfect at Turfway Park, the 12-horse Encino here. Turfway in the last 2 years, it gave us Rich Strike, but then it also gave us Two Phils, who ran such an amazing race in the Derby to be on that early pace and then still be hanging around there late. So Turfway, you've really got to take these horses a lot more seriously now. You had Blue Eyed George and Epic Ride that were coming out of the Leonidas Stakes last time out. The Epic Ride won it. That's why he's your even money favorite. Blue Eyed George, the 7, was the second choice in this race, along with Bolt at Midnight, who was a complete no-show. But I was impressed with Encino. He's had to overcome multiple wide trips, wide post breaks, and still be able to get the job done here. This isn't the Jeff Ruby Stakes. That's really the one where you've got to go. That's where Two Phils came out. If he didn't race in this race, he was in the Jeff Ruby. So we're still not quite to where we're like, this is the elite horse coming out of Turfway. But just from watching this and what you've seen so far from Encino, what do you think about him?
He's interesting, at least. I mean, this is a horse that took a big time step forward in this race. If you go back and you look at what he had done previously, ran two maiden special weights, went gate to wire in the second one to kind of break the maiden, was bet heavily in the first, didn't break wonderfully, and then it ran, rushed up. I kind of like the fact that we've seen him do this in two separate ways, get wins now, with the breaking the maiden on the lead and then coming from off the pace here. You mentioned the post. Like, this was definitely not an easy trip. Even there, kind of like ducks in behind Bolt to Midnight and then tilts out wide and able to get the job done. It still freaks me out. That gate is so close right there.
Every time.
every time I watch Turfway. So I thought it was a good win. Numbers-wise, it's a little light compared to the other Kentucky Derby preps. And so he still needs to take a step forward. But again, this was the third race for a Brad Cox horse. It's not illogical if you think this horse is going to improve next time out. I have a bias against Turfway. I'll just go ahead and be honest. Any race that is not the Jeff Ruby Stakes, I'm not all that interested in. For me, it's one of those where, like, okay, golf clap, do it again, right? Show me what you got in the Jeff Ruby when it's going to be a little bit more difficult to be able to win the race. But not a cross off, so I guess that's a positive.
He did complete the, you mentioned he got a little, not erratic, but he ducked in behind the leader there and then came out. And then once he got straight, he powered home. It was a 6-1 final 16th of a mile. So for him going a mile in the 16th on synthetic when you don't usually see super fast fractions, especially late, I thought that was very impressive. They did go pretty slow, you know, the middle fraction there. They went 23-4 for the opener and then 24-2, 24-3, 25 flat. That 25 flat kind of makes me go, but then again, the fact that he came home so strongly late, I did like that out of him. It's a son of Nyquist out of a Bernardini mare, and that's the same breeding that we have for Nysos, who is the top three-year-old, right? I don't know if we can say he's in training. Him scratching from the next race we'll talk about is a little concerning. I thought that the excuse the reason Baffert gave was a little bullshitty, but we can talk about that in a second. But yeah, the breeding is there. It's Brad Cox. It's a Godolphin homebred. You know how badly Godolphin wants. This is like the one race Godolphin hasn't won yet in America. They're like, we got to get this damn Kentucky Derby win. So they're aiming hard for that one.
I have not read. Have we heard where he's going next?
Encino, Jeff Ruby.
He is going Jeff Ruby. I was wondering if he would take to the dirt versus staying on the synthetic. But like the breeding, like you said, the breeding says he can handle the dirt. The breeding says he can handle the distance. He just hasn't tried it yet.
Yeah. All right. I'll pull up the chart real quick. You see that, you know, the top few horses early were the top few horses around. I would expect we see the top three finishes from this race go on to the Jeff Ruby Stakes. You also could see as endlessly the Michael McCarthy trainee who won the Golden Gate Fields race, the El Camino Real Derby. It was on synthetic. He might come over here for this race. You might see a couple other Derby trail hopefuls reroute to the Jeff Ruby Stakes, seeing if, you know, a switch to the Turfway Park course maybe helps them out a little bit. That's what Two Phils did last year, although being by Hardspun, that you knew that was going to help.
You think we could get First World War in here?
You are still on that train.
I'm still on that First World War train.
I think he'd have a strong chance.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's completely out of the realm of possibility here.
I just don't know. Last I looked, he hadn't worked in a long time.
Well, that's not
good. Last I was aware, he hadn't actually worked since he won the Kitten's Joy. Let me check real quick. He still hasn't worked since the Kitten's Joy and the Jeff Ruby's in 3 weeks. So I don't know if he's going to come around that quickly.
That ain't happening. He's not even on the future pool anymore for the Derby either.
That's not a good sign. Shoddy was bringing up in the Discord and then is also in the chat. Epic Ride, because he was the had won the Leonidas Stakes, was carrying high weight of 124. And Encino, 118, like a lot of other horses. So on that note and what Davies brings up here, do you think Epic Ride ends up winning if they had the same weight?
Probably. I mean, 6 pounds over a mile and 16th, and you've got a length difference. Yeah, that probably is worth the 6 pounds.
Well, there you go. And it's John Ennis, the trainer of Epic Ride. Blue Eyed George, trained by Michael McCarthy, also has Endlessly. So we'll see if he brings both of them over here for that one. All right. The last race to talk about, and what a joke for so many reasons. The San Felipe Stakes, first of all, DK horse. I know it's supposed to be DraftKings horse. I maybe it's just the 5-year-old of me. I keep seeing it as Dick Horse. The Dick Horse San Felipe Stakes. Rescheduled to Sunday. Thought that was the right move because of how bad the weather was in Southern California for Saturday. But we lost Nysos, and the reason supposedly was because of the the 1 day difference. He didn't, Baffert didn't want to disrupt Nisos's schedule. Maybe he wanted to let one of these other two Baffert horses win this race. I don't buy that. But anyways, what are your thoughts on Nisos and then this race as a whole?
Well, Nisos is pointing to a different race than everyone else we're talking about today, right? Let's be honest. Nisos is pointing to the Preakness and the Haskell. Yep. Those are the two races that Baffert cares about. And this race is largely irrelevant for Nisos. So he could have scratched for whatever reason he wanted to. He'll probably run in the Santa Anita Derby, probably win it by open lengths, and then go on to the Preakness and probably win that race as well. He's 2-1 in the future pool right now. There's all of that going on. As far as this race, yeah, we learned exactly what we thought. We learned the two Bafferts are the two best horses this race, and there's no one in California that should be in the Kentucky Derby at this point, which is sad to say. At least we had Go Rocket Ride last year, and there's always been these other California horses. You had one or two of them that were at least interesting outside of the Bafferts, and man, this is it's the Bafferts and nothing this year. And these two Bafferts aren't even that good. That's the other part of it where they would be short prices in the Derby. No, if Wind Me Up and Imagination made it to the Derby gate, both of them are over 20-1. And that's wild. This is the best that the California has to offer right now. It's a shame that this is what we're seeing. We'll see what happens when they take a step forward. But man, this is just, it's sad to watch this, to be honest with you, because I love Santa Anita. I love the California circuit. And to have this be one of your premier races on Big Cap Day is it's a bummer.
We need a Mandarin Hero to come over and be our hero. Hero would absolutely win that. Well, Nisos wasn't the Santa Anita. Watch the one Scatify, by the way. He gets kind of bullied over a little bit by Wind Me Up, who's trying to take the rail. Berrios was fighting the hell out of Scatify and he wasn't responding. Watched him. He didn't get mugged, Shoddy. That horse did not want to respond. Berrios is, they'll zoom in here in a second and you'll see Berrios has still got both feet in the dash trying to stop this horse from climbing up the top of Wind Me Up. I mean, this is your 3-1 third choice in this race.
That's also one of the scenarios. If you go watch the head on is a lot less damning than the pan is. The pan makes it look a lot worse than it actually was. It's clearly the one just going bonkers versus the two coming over on him. And it swung Imagination out a little bit. So Imagination, you gotta give him some props. I thought Wind Me Up was winning this race when they turned for home. I also had Wind Me Up singled in the pick five. So kind of hoping for Wind Me Up to win this race. But I thought Wind Me Up was winning this race when they turned for home because it looked like he got on even terms and then Imagination kind of kick clear by that head again. So pretty frustrating there from a Samich perspective in this race. But let's say Scatify doesn't do that. Is he five lengths back instead of 15? Is that really the horse you're looking for or pointing to through the Derby? It's ridiculous.
I was on the Triple H Racing podcast last week with Howard, which by the way, go check it out and subscribe to the Triple H Racing podcast on YouTube. Howard does a lot of great stuff over on his channel, but he was asking me about the California racing and is there anyone in California that people are excited about or think might make the Derby or have a chance? And he brought up Scatify, and before this, it was like, no, Scatify is not a serious threat.
Wait for it. There he is.
If you were betting Scatify next out, you would say, well, this is a scratch off race for him.
Yeah.
But it also just, horrible. I mean, Imagination is the better of the two horses between him and Wind Me Up. Imagination has the problem of running up or down to his competition. He never dominates a race and you go, yeah, that is an amazing horse. That's just, he was a head better than Wind Me Up, who's, about 3,000 heads worse than Nisos. So
yeah. Yeah, I mean, look, neither of these horses, if Nisos is in this race, he beats Imagination by 7. It's not close. Nisos is by far the best horse, the best 3-year-old horse in the country right now.
I mean, even look at the fractions, fact that they went 26-2 from the 3/4 mile and then 6-3 for that last 16th. And they were all out. And that's not great.
No, it's not. And they didn't go that fast early. This is Santa Anita, 23:47. It's not burning it. This is a all-time comment by Sylvia, by the way. The tractor was honking the horn at Scatify. I love that. That's amazing. They were about to run him over with the rake. He was going so slow at the end of that race. I mean, this is just this it's a bummer. How many horses do you think we end up with in the Santa Anita Derby?
Yeah, I saw that question from where'd it go? Someone said over under 6.5 horses. There's Carl Ramrod. Jeez. I'll go under 6.5. I think 6 is the most we get for the Santa Anita Derby.
I'll go over just because it's the Santa Anita Derby, and I think there's gonna be two random horses that show up. Imagination will be there, Wind Me Up will be there. I would expect McVay and Scatify both end up there anyway. Like,
because where else are they gonna go?
Right. And so that's we're already at 5 in that sense, and then we have two randos that show up. And you want me to tell you who I bet for the Derby now?
Who'd you bet for the Kentucky Derby, Mike?
25-1. I'm so down on these U.S. horses. I bet Forever Young. I found him 25-1. I took my plunge on a Japanese horse. It's an if not when. There will be a Japanese horse that wins the Derby. It's the question of when. And this year may be the year, folks. Like, this may be the year that the U.S. crop is just so bad that a Japanese horse is able to come over. 18-1 to 25-1 is what I found online. I found it, so I took advantage of the 25-1.
That is fantastic odds at 25-1. That's great. Doc trying to one up you. Doc got it at 30-1. Go find
it. Doc, that's good what he does. Yeah, no kidding.
I'm glad you took a break from curing cancer to bet a Japanese horse at 30-1, Doc. Listen, the hype on the horse was massive going into the Saudi Derby. He was drafted, I think, like a third-round pick in the fantasy draft. So plenty of people knew about him, before his 3-year-old season. I wasn't that impressed with his Saudi Derby effort, but the UAE Derby is going to be next for him. That's a mile and a quarter race, mile and 3/16 race. So he'll be able to show his stuff at two turns and on a more demanding setup, because he's not a front runner. And a lot of times you need a front runner to be a serious contender in the UAE Derby. So we'll see if he wins strongly in the UAE, if he wins the UAE Derby with a very strong effort, that 25-1 is going to feel like an absolute gift. So it's a case of when, not if. If it's not this year when Baffert's got by far the best 3-year-old in the crop, and every 3-year-old we're going, I don't know if he's good, I don't know if he's good, I don't know if he's good. It's setting up so well for Japan to do it.
It feels like this is the year. And Jerry W, please don't start this Japanese stuff again. I have not been on any Japanese horse in the Derby yet. This is the first time I am starting this Japanese stuff. I was anti-Japanese horses the last 2 years. And this to me, again, I'm more down on everybody else than I am up on Forever Young. That it's the point where, like, this feels like it could be the point where we see this horse. The other horse I'm interested in is Catching Freedom. Catching Freedom is also 25-1. That's the longest price I could get on him. That's too short if I can get Forever Young at 25-1. And that's the reason I bet Forever Young and not Catching Freedom. Last we saw Catching Freedom, I believe, was third, running third to Sierra Leone down at Fairgrounds. And it looked goofy. I thought he had every chance in the stretch. It seems like if he can figure out the head stuff, all the talent is there to be able to be good enough. If you give me the same price on those two horses, to me, Forever Young was the horse I wanted to bet.
Excuse me. I agree with you on Catching Freedom. He's another one at a price that I think you could get, a good effort. But you're right. It's the head case business. Now, he's not a Tappet. So you're not like, well, he's never going to be resolved to those issues because he's a Tappet. Son of Constitution, out of a Pioneer of the Nile mare. So as long as they can just get him figured out, get him to figure shit out. Like, go back and watch the Smarty Jones race. Like, that one, when he finally figured out, oh, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, he took off on them. So, I'm with you on Catching Freedom. listen, Bob Baffert won the Frank Kilroy Mile with Du Jour, owned by his wife. Is Bob Baffert the best turf trainer in California? Absolutely not. That's Phil D'Amato. But that is a funny question.
Didn't he have another horse go gate to wire, too, earlier? No, ran second. He had a turf horse earlier in the day, too, who ran second, who just missed going gate to wire.
I mean, people are so bored with sending dirt horses to Baffert to dominate. They're like, I mean, let's try and win the turf races now. Why not? Phil D'Amato's in there going, God damn it.
It is interesting. The one Baffert who's good on turf is the one his wife owns. So you wonder if he'd got more turf stock, would he be any good? I when I was part of Slam Dunk Racing, I had a Baffert turf horse. This was, 10 years ago, something like that now, 8 years ago, something crazy. And she always ran second or third. She was a speed horse that couldn't finish and always ended up running second or third.
That's how it usually goes with a Baffert horse on turf. Always run second, third. But hey, if you bet Du Jour, I know that was Aaron's top pick over in racingdudes.com with the free pick. So if you bet Du Jour, congratulations. And then Baffert, of course, wins the big cap. So of course he wins the Saint Philippe, the big cap, the Kilroy Mile. he let Ruby Nell and Mandela win the Buena Vista, the other stakes.
Yeah, heck of a performance by Ruby Nell to set those early fractions and hold on. We saw Goliad collapse in the Kilroy Mile after setting similar early fractions, or well, a little slower, but still similar early fractions. I thought Ruby Nell ran huge in that race.
Well, over at racingnews.com, full Kentucky Derby update. You can get Aaron's top 20, the latest top 20 for him. And he says in his video, I have so many more questions, so many things I don't know about. He said, I could have a horse that's ranked fifth this week that could be 105th after its next race, because that's just how things go. So go check that out. Full replays for the Kentucky Derby prep races, along with analysis up there as well. And this week, we've got just one prep race, the Tampa Bay Derby. So kind of a lighter time, but you can check out the racingnews.com, and we'll have stuff all week long leading up to the Tampa Bay Derby. No clue who's going to run in it. I thought Agate Road was going to go there, but now it sounds like he's rerouting. So
maybe, you know, first World War. First World War Tampa Bay Derby. Can we get it going? Sylvia asked a quick question. Speakeasy, be the high ceiling screwball. I don't even know when Speakeasy's running next. Like, that's the thing, is that both Victory Avenue and Speakeasy scratching out of this race, they have to be one prep champions, right? I mean, like, they're going to have to go to a single race. They're going to have to run first or second in that race just to get into the Derby gate at this point.
We always talk about third off the layoff or third start at three being like when you play. This will be literally third start for each of those horses if they make it to the Kentucky Derby. I don't think Speakeasy or Locked, we see them in a Derby prep. Locked scratching back-to-back weeks like that isn't good, when he had a fever and then wasn't training well and, you know, he didn't gallop well is what Pletcher said. So not good signs. And then Speakeasy they sent to the farm to get to Windstar. I think they put him in a hyperbaric chamber to get ready. But whenever they leave the track, like physically leave all of the training areas to go get healthy, it's going to be multiple weeks before you see them.
Yeah, and Locked already out of the Tampa Bay Derby as well. Pletcher said he would not be running there, so he's not going to show up there. So, I haven't heard anything about Victory Avenue. I don't. Have you heard anything about Victory Avenue?
No, I mean, I don't know. I don't. Just that he wasn't 100% that morning. They said he was quiet. That was so they scratched him.
But they didn't. They didn't say anything about future plans. He would be the one of the two that I would be interested. Like I've always said, Speakeasy I think is a better horse going. It's not going at his best at a mile and a quarter. So for me, it was the Victory Avenue was the one I was excited to see run in the Fountain of Youth, and we'll see if he ends up somewhere else if we see that name pop back into the entry box sometime soon. But yeah, it looks like Locked not going to make the Derby because of issues. It looks like Speakeasy not going to make a future prep. So it's going to be tight here. And it's going to be like the funny thing is Marco mentions like the Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner curse continues. Fierceness,
just a juvenile curse. It's not even the winner, it's the curse of the people, the horses in that race.
So Fierceness is being talked about still for the Florida Derby. I mean, if he's right now 12-1, if Fierceness wins the Florida Derby, what's his off odds in the Kentucky Derby?
Oh, this year 4-1, 3-1.
He's the favorite. Like,
he only wins the Florida Derby if he gets the lead, right? We've seen that from him. He's got to have the lead or he doesn't have a chance. If he draws the rail and goes gate to win the Florida Derby, people go, oh, yeah, just do that in the Kentucky Derby, too.
He won from second place in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. He stalked in that race.
Yeah, he was outside of a Chad Brown sprinter. That's how that happened for him.
That's fair. That's fair. I don't think Fierceness at 12-1 is the worst bet. I'll just say that. Because if he makes the gate, he's going to be shorter than that price.
From a value perspective, I'll agree. I still wouldn't touch Fierceness for the Derby right now. But from a value perspective, yes, you are correct. And that's usually when you bet futures, that's what you've got to be thinking is what will this horse be on Derby? Forever Young, if he wins the UAE Derby, he's going to be 5-6-1.
Yeah. I think he wins the UA Derby. I think he's sub 10-1. And if he gets to the Derby gate, and the one thing you can say about these Japanese horses, they do run when they qualify, they do end up running. So that's at least a positive there if you're backing them.
Well, thanks everybody for joining Mike and I to talk about everything Derby this past weekend. Hopefully we gave you a little bit more clarity, even if we don't have it ourselves, but we really appreciate you taking time to join us. Like I said, head over to racingnews.com for free picks for every race, every track across the country. Of course, premium picks and the Samo Bombs. You can get those as well on the handicapping products page. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Curtis Kellerward. He is at SamoBomb18, number 1, number 8. And of course, follow Mike for his VSIN hits and for all the coverage for March Madness, because that's going to be heating up pretty soon, right, buddy?
Yeah, March Madness just a couple weeks away. We got NHC in 2 weeks in Las Vegas, so the crew will get back together. If you qualify for NHC, come say hi. We'll be at table 141 again this year. Hopefully we can run it back to the final table like we did a couple years ago. And then next weekend, March Madness kicks off. So we'll be in Vegas for March Madness covering that for VSiN. And it's going to be a blast, man. We're talking about the Derby being wide open. March Madness, just as wide open this year. You've got UConn, you've got Houston, and then you've got a bunch of teams that have major holes in their team, either offensively or defensively. So it's going to be a very interesting March Madness season as well.
Speaking of that, too, if you want to tail some great college basketball picking, Papa Dude has been red hot for the last month and a half over at Racing Dudes on the Best Bets page. So go check him out if you want to bet college basketball. But Mike and I'll be back for Thursday's Magic Mike Show. We're going back to one of Mike's favorite tracks, Tampa Bay Downs, because it's the only track running with any real purpose this weekend. But lots of big stakes action over at Tampa Bay Downs, so including the Tampa Bay Derby. So join us on Thursday, March 7th. That's what day that's going to be at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Until then, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this week.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.